Pow.
Beaming on the blue mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Good afternoon. I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my wife,
Minister Mildred Townsend.
And you're now tuned in to Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on KAYT. Sit back and enjoy the Word of God.
To take a stand. A stand. Not knowing I'd lose my best friend. But I'd rather live right than in hell lift up my eyes. All God's children just stand. Yeah. Till somebody say,
you stand.
Yeah, Lord, yeah. Stand for holiness.
Stand for holiness. Whoa. Stand for righteousness.
And be counted,
among them that shall reign with him.
Hey,
stand
with
friends are gone.
Whoa.
Stand when you're all
and
alone.
Believe
he shall receive his own.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord and all of his hosts, and thank you for tuning in to another session of Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on your Real Love Station, 88.1 FM. I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my wife, Minister Mildred Townsend, and together we bring to you the Moments of Inspiration Outreach Radio Broadcast Ministry, which can be heard every Saturday right here on KAYT, 88.1 FM on your dial, 92.5 Shreveport, 98.9 FM in Monroe. We bid you the word peace, and may that peace be multiplied. Today, Bishop Townsend is in the studio by himself. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh is not joining us on this beautiful day, but nevertheless, the word of God still goes in an unprecedented way to make you be able to be found, fashioned, just like the church Jesus Christ is coming back for, a church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. Praise be to God. And as always, amen, we'd like to share a scripture with you, and we're going to be coming from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, starting at verse number 1. It says, "Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Number 2, I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Number 4, where the word of a king is, there is power. Who may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment." May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, readers, and doers of his word. I've shared with you from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Let us go before the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank thee, O God, for blessing us and affording us another opportunity to come before your heritage. Lord God, these are your people, the sheep of your pasture. Lord, we thank you for even using this vessel of clay that you have chosen, Lord God, to speak out of. And Father, I humble myself in thy sight. Use me, Lord God. Even if it is unto death to give thee glory, Lord God, I humble myself unto thee to be used greatly of you in this end time to help prepare your people for your coming. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for what thou art doing. And even in the midst of tumultuous times, Lord God, your word is true, it is accurate, it is precise. And we thank you, Lord God, even for this broadcast that you have opened the door for. And Father, we are praying for the hundreds of thousands that are hearing our voice on today, oh God, that you will render someone repentance in their heart, Lord God, that you will cause some man, some woman to take assessment, Lord God, of the verdict that has been placed upon them. And upon completion of this broadcast, oh Lord God, that they will realize that they are standing before the judge, the almighty sovereign God of this universe that is coming back to judge the quick and the dead. And those that are found wanting in the balance, Lord God, that your word said that when they stand before the king and the books are opened and he's asked the question, is their name in the Lamb's book of life? For whosoever's name was not found in the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. Father, I'm praying, oh God, that this will be the knowledge that your people need to know, that our lives must sincerely be heralded with Christ, that we must be hid with Christ. And we thank you for all things, knowing that your word is true, and we call it done in Jesus' name. Brothers and sisters, I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend of the One Way Apostolic Deliverance Temple. And if you're ever in the Natchez area, we'd certainly like to invite you to come be our guest, 111 Cloverdale Road in Natchez, Mississippi. All roads lead there. All denominations are welcome. All seats are free. Amen. And if you're in the position to where as you're ready to be fashioned after the similitude of Jesus Christ, if you're tired of being entertained, if you're tired of being lied to, if you're tired of being bamboozled and hoodwinked into thinking, amen, that you cannot live a perfect life, the devil is a lie. Amen. The devil is certainly a lie. And that is the time that we're living in. Most preachers are even preaching that. You know what? Ain't none of us perfect. Ain't none of us made it there yet. Well, I've got news for you, brothers and sisters. If you ain't made it there by the time Jesus come, then you know what? We're in serious trouble. Amen. We're in serious trouble. If we ain't made it there by the time Jesus Christ come, somebody's going to be in trouble. Why do you say that, Bishop Townsend? I'm going to share something with you in the Word of God. And it's coming right directly from the sayings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, that's right. Coming directly from the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that word simply says in Matthew 5:48, Jesus said these words. He said, be ye therefore perfect. Let me say that again. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Why would Jesus tell us to do something that could not be done? Why would he give us the admonition to stand in a presence of God and we can't be perfect? A lot of folks say, well, we know it, Pastor, we ain't gonna get perfect until we get our glorified body. Wait just a second. That would be defeating the purpose. That would be defeating everything that Jesus said we could be in this earthly tabernacle. Now, he was prophetically speaking because they were imperfect up under the law. But now that Jesus Christ has risen and said that all power is given unto me both in heaven and in earth, brother, you can be perfect. Sister, you can be perfect. That's right. You can live a perfect life above sin. You can live a life, amen, that will cause you to be pleasing in the sight of God. Bishop Townsend, why do you say this? Because the Word of God says he's coming back for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Amen. He's coming back for a perfect church. And if you're living an imperfect life when the Lord comes back, then the truth of the matter is you'll be no different than it was when Noah got ready to step inside the ark. And when the people got ready to come in, they were cut off. It was too late. There is a cutoff period. There is a time, even in the household of faith, where we must strive to be perfect, and we must be perfect. We had been sharing with God's people the importance of living a life free of sin. Most people say, well, can you live a life free of sin, Pastor? Yes, you can. The truth of the matter is, if you don't know what's available to you, you're going to forever live a life that's a sugared down gospel. Jesus didn't present a half gospel to us. He brought a whole gospel. And then after the gospel he shared with us, the apostles picked it up. And you know what they did? They told us to live a life perfect and to continuously look for the coming of Jesus. Why did you tell them that? Because if a man knew what hour the tornado was coming. We just experienced it not too long ago in the city of over in Texas, a little small town, where they said about 7 or 8 tornadoes touched down in the vicinity of that state. And it wiped out a little town of about 8,000 people. Now, let me share something with you. Do you think if they knew that the tornado was coming, they would have not made preparations to save their life? The gospel of Jesus Christ is the same way, brothers and sisters. He shared with the world and said, now, you know not what hour the thief is coming. But had the good man of the house knew what hour the thief was coming, he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Some of our houses are going to be literally destroyed. And I'm talking about this earthly tabernacle, this vessel in which that we call a piece of clay. Because we are not watching unto sanctification. We're not watching unto holiness. We're not watching unto righteousness. See, I've got to share something with you that's going to blow your mind. And that is that the Word of God clearly tells us this. Gifts and callings are without repentance. Are they not? Indeed they are. From the beginning of time, that when God first created man, he created man and he created woman. Did he not? Of course he did. Did he not sanction the two and tell them to subdue the earth, to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish it? Indeed he did. And upon that commandment, he gave them the gift of what is called procreation. Procreation is the gift that God gave unto the husband and wife so that they could come together in sexual union and to produce offspring, children. But because gifts and callings are without repentance, even when Satan deceived the woman and the man and sin came in, God did not take the gift of procreation away. Wow, I'm going someplace with this thing, y'all. And because he did not take the gift of procreation away, then mankind began to institutionalize or incorporate his own idea. Where are you going with this, Bishop Townsend? I'm going with this to let you know that just because a thing is don't mean it is incorporated of God. Then next thing we know, men began living with women and women living with men, and they did not marry. But now watch this. The gift of procreation was not taken away. Man, even in the dispensation of time in which that we are currently residing in right now, can get with a woman and not be married to them. And they can live together like a husband and wife and yet procreate. Because the gift and the calling of procreation comes without repentance. Yes, God repented that he destroyed the earth, but the gift he gives, it is without repentance. And so now we are living in a society where men and women can still procreate and not be married. It is the same thing with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Now we are taking it a step further. A woman can now go down to a sperm bank and become artificially inseminated and yet still bring forth a child into the world. What are you alluding to, Bishop Townsend? There is what's called God's perfect will and God's permissive will. Even in the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is what's called a perfect will in preaching the gospel, and then there is a permissive will. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, always fought with people because they were being duped into what was called a permissive will gospel as opposed to the perfect will gospel. He wanted the people to know that Judaism was not enough to sustain them and that since God had delivered them, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, and that they needed to keep their mind fastened on the coming of Jesus Christ. That would keep you in a perfect state of mind. But the watered-down illusionary gospel had gave them room for error. God's grace is true. God's grace, the unmerited favor that God has given unto man. But yet man was not aware that there is a cutoff period. And indeed, the gospel that was preached let us know indeed there were cutoff periods. For when we go into the book of Acts and we study the life and times of one called Ananias and Sapphira, who was also up under the dispensation of grace, when they lied to the apostle Peter, he said, thou hast not lied unto men, but thou hast lied to the Holy Ghost, and they were, say it with me, they were cut off. Why did you cut them off? Because God wants us to know that if we choose not to operate in his perfect gospel, the permissive gospel ain't going to make it. The lies and the trickery and the deception that the enemy is sowing is not going to make it. Let me share something with you again. And as we go to the book of Thessalonians, I want to share something with you in 2 Thessalonians. Because I believe, praise be to God, that God wants to get us to understand. Amen. And if I can find this scripture, I'm going to share it with you because it speaks about God coming back bringing flaming justice on those that obey not the gospel and don't know Jesus Christ. All right? Praise be to God. Here we go. In the 2 Thessalonians, starting at the first chapter, and I want to share this with you, starting at verse number 5. And it reads in this manner, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, watch this, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which also you suffer. So you see, there is a worthiness on our part that can't be done with works. It must be done through obedience. It is through the obedience of Christ that we will be able to enter into the kingdom. Why did Christ tell them in Matthew's? He said, for many shall come unto me trying to enter into the kingdom in that day, and they shall say, Lord, Lord, open up unto us, for in thy name we cast out devils, in thy name we prayed for the sick, we've done all these things in your name. And watch how Christ responds. He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Yes, many people going to come to the kingdom and going to be turned away because this thing is about obedience to the will, to the word, and to the way of God. And even those that are in the household of faith that are listening to the watered-down version of the gospel. Why do we water it down, Bishop Townsend? Because the old folk left a cliche that said you can catch more flies with sugar than you can with vinegar. Well, let me tell you something. When it comes to the gospel and preaching of the gospel, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It ain't about us drawing them, no way. We ain't got to come with hook lines and cliches and entertainment to get people in the household of God. If I be lifted up, I will draw them unto me. But the problem is we're doing too much man lifting and not enough God lifting. Praise be to God. Whenever we learn to lift up Jesus, there ain't nothing wrong with giving honor to whom honor is due. But it is now high time out for us to quit lifting up the pastor, lifting up the apostle, lifting up the bishop. Oh, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. During the culinary services that convene, yes, we thank God for the lump of clay and the vessel that he has chosen to dispense his word. But no. We have not come into this place to give honor to the man of God. Oh, no, God forbid. We have come to give honor to the God that is in the man. Glory be to God. Let me say that again. No, we have not come here to lift up the man of God and to give glory to him. Oh, no. No, we have not come to honor the man of God. We have come to honor the God that is in the man, that God has chosen this piece of clay and this vessel to dispense his word in. And even since we are here to honor the God that is in the man, hopefully someone will still give their life to him before the segment of the service is over. Since we are lifting up the God that is in the man, he will call someone to come to genuine repentance. See, there can't be no preaching of the gospel without repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is reminding you that you are due of the sentence that hangs over you. Repentance reminds you that if you were just like a man that is in a court of law, you have been found standing before the judge. You did a hit and run. because you were drunk and you didn't understand what you'd done. And so now, as you stand before the judge, before he renders his sentence, he asks you this question. Do you have anything to say for yourself? And it reminds me of a story of a young man. It was a song that said, don't drink and drive. And he had got caught numerous of times. And the young man kept on driving and drinking. He kept on driving and drinking until one day he hit somebody. And when he hit them, when he came to a day or so later, he was in jail, locked up. And he got ready to stand before the judge for his drunken driving. Now, in past times, his mom and dad would be there with him. They would be right there to support him. Many times mom and dad told him, son, drunk drinking and driving just don't mix. But he wouldn't listen to nobody. He wouldn't listen to sound doctrine. You see, there's a doctrine out there. There's an unsound doctrine, and then there is sound doctrine. The sound doctrine, it hurts you. It cuts you. Yes, it does. It hurts when sound doctrine comes, but it is to remind us that God ain't going to accept anything any kind of way. That son would not listen to sound doctrine, and so as he stood before the judge, they said, son, you are here because charges have been brought against you again for drunk driving. And he looked over there, and he saw his father. And they asked him, before they asked him the sentence, they said, do you have anything to say before I render my judgment? And he looked over at his father and said, he said, daddy, he said, where is mama? Because every time I've been in trouble, you and mama have always been there. He said, son, that's what I wanted you to understand. The person that you hit this time was your mother, and you killed her. Oh, my God. He wouldn't listen to sound doctrine. He wouldn't listen to sound doctrine, and it killed him. It took him out. It took his mother out, and he was ashamed now. And so is it, my brothers and sisters. If you don't listen to sound doctrine, you'll take somebody out, and you won't even be aware of what you've done. That's why we've got to preach sound doctrine, and that'll cause you to repent of your wrongdoing. When you stand before the judge, and if you've done wrong, and he said, do you have anything to say for yourself? If there is true repentance in your heart, you will say, your honor, I'm guilty of all charges. But if you, all he's looking for is to see, is there some remorse in your heart about what you've done? Repeating a sinner's prayer ain't good enough. There got to be some true tears of repentance. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. And when godly sorrow comes into you, let me tell you something. It ain't the words that move Jesus. It is the sentiments of your heart. For when the prostitute who came up to Jesus with the alabaster box, she cried nonstop. And though she said not a word, the tears of repentance, Jesus, began to move him. And it moved him with such magnitude until those that stood by ready to judge the woman, he said, since I came here, none of you anointed my feet. None of you have kissed me. But since I've came, this woman have not ceased kissing my feet. What are you saying, Jesus? I see the repentant heart. I see those of you that seek to be justified from through religion. And that's the reason why the churches are full today. That's the reason why, because we are birthing children just like test tube babies. It ain't done through genuine repentance. It is just a mere lip service of repeat after me. The doors of the church are open. You can come by Christian experience. You can come by candidate for baptism, a letter. That ain't in the word nowhere. We've got to bring them back to genuine repentance. Peter told them, even after he preached his first message on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do? You can't get to Jesus without repentance, baby. Doctor, I don't care how many theological degrees you got. I don't care how you came up through the ranks. That's why he said, broad is the way that lead to destruction, and there shall be many that go therein. What are you saying, Jesus? There is a way that seemeth right. But baby, when it comes to this gospel, let us look at what the apostles preached. Let us look at what they shared. And they shared that men must repent. For even Cornelius, who was a man of almsgiving, who served God yet still had to go what God commissioned for him. And it had to come through the preaching of Peter. He had to hear about the gift of the Holy Ghost. He had to hear about repentance. He had to hear about the name of Jesus. What's wrong, Cornelius? Everything what you did, Cornelius, ain't nothing but religion. And I will honor your religion to a degree. But I need to tell you somebody that has been endowed and infused with the Holy Ghost and tell you what you must genuinely do to be saved. We got too many test tube baby salvational aspects happening now. A woman can go get a baby. She can become artificially inseminated. And that is what's going on in the body of Christ. Artificial insemination. Artificial insemination. The Ethiopian eunuch, when Philip preached Jesus unto him from the book of Isaiah, they did not have the scriptures. And let me share something with you. The scriptures that you read, the epistle letters and the Pauline letters, were not scripture back then. They went by the Pentateuch. They went by the Old Testament. And because later on, these letters that Paul became scripture. But when they began to preach the scriptures unto them, they were not preaching the book of Acts. They were not preaching the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. They preached the Old Testament scriptures, which led up to the preaching of Jesus Christ. That there is none other that the name of Jesus salvation must come through. He came to save us. And it is through the preaching of Jesus. It is through the repentance of sin. And watch this. The preaching of John was just the paint primer that they used. It was just the paint primer that was used. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, no, chapter 1. I got to go back to chapter 1. I done got a little bit beside myself here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 says this, y'all, what God's going to do if we don't obey the true gospel. Number 7 says, 1 and 7 says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. Watch this, y'all. With mighty angels. How are you going to come, Jesus? I got about 3 minutes. He's coming in flaming fire. What are you going to do, Jesus? Take vengeance. I know we talk about how sweet he is. We talk about how loving he is. We talk about how kind he is. I know. But see, the gospel has been watered down so that you don't repent of your wrongdoing and get it right. Because if you knew he were coming today in flaming judgment, would true repentance hit you? Watch this. Take inflaming fire, number 8, 1 and 8. 2 Thessalonians, read it yourself. Inflaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Wait a minute. Oh, yes. Because the watered down gospel ain't really getting to let people know God. They're just getting religion. And for those that have become test tube babies inside the church without genuine repentance, here's what's going to happen to you also. On them that know not the gospel, watch this, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he left with the holy apostles. That's what he left with them. He left with them the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. How do I get this gospel? Number one, baby, you got to repent of your sins. You got to repent of your sins, and you got to ask God with godly sorrow to forgive you. And then after you do that, get baptized into the authority of Jesus Christ, having the name of Jesus Christ called over you in water baptism. The authority of Jesus is what is going to bring the remission of sins. That is what brings the remission of sins. That and that alone. Nothing else will bring the remission of sins. Father, Son, Holy Ghost will not bring the remission of sins. For there is none other name, not title, there is none other name given under heaven where men must be saved but by the name of Jesus. And then what are you going to do, Jesus? He's going to take flaming fire on them. Not only is he going to take flaming fire on them that know not the gospel and obey not the gospel, he said, number 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of power. I'm here to let you know that this ain't no weak, passive gospel. This gospel is true. It is real. And we got too many test tube babies up in the church today. That is why the church is failing. I've got to go, y'all. I will be around the station. God bless you. It's time to get it right. It's tight, but it's right.
And holiness.
Praise the Lord. We pray that this broadcast has been a blessing to you. And if it has, you can correspond with us by simply writing us at
111 Cloverdale Road, Natchez, Mississippi,